Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now, on to episode 143.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Today's episode is brought to you by OmniSend. If you're in e-commerce marketing and it feels like those weekly newsletters are no longer enough to power your growth, you're going to love OmniSend. With more than 3,000 five-star reviews, OmniSend is the go-to choice for nimble Shopify merchants who want to step up from regular email campaigns so you can actually start increasing your sales, not your workload. With OmniSend, you'll be launching pre-built e-commerce automation in no time, as well as intuitively segmenting customers based on their shopping behavior and even trying out SMS or push notifications, all from the same platform. The best part? OmniSend provides an immediate boost to your revenue while staying as easy as drag and drop email building, with automated emails averaging up to 40% of the total email revenue. Join Duke Cannon, Black Halo, and other high-growth Shopify brands that choose OmniSend to grow their e-commerce business on autopilot. So visit OmniSend.com and start your 14-day free trial today with no credit card required. So hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. New episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog. I mean, I think as of today's recording, there's 140-some episodes that are available. Really great, impactful messaging that a lot of these brands and a lot of these SaaS founders have done to really help grow and scale Shopify brands. So double check that to see. Today's episode is very unique and it's very rare because this is an encore recording. And because there's so many SaaS companies in the Shopify ecosystem, and in my first few years of podcasting, I was only able to record once per week as I was kind of getting some traction. Now I'm doing twice a week. So I'm able to do, you know, 100 some episodes today. And I was looking back in my archives and I'm like, you know what? I have not talked to Zohar, who we're going to talk to in a moment, since November of 2018. It was episode 26, talking about this platform that he has to help people with search. But when I started digging a little bit deeper, I found out, oh no, this platform has certainly upgraded significantly since 2018. And I think I'm going to decide probably today that I need to meet you once a year and talk about the platform and the updates and just things that are happening. So my guest is Zohar Galad. He is the co-founder and the CEO of a company called Fast Simon, formerly was known as Instant Search Plus. You'll see why they've changed the name in a moment, but they really are a shopping optimization platform. They're for the small businesses, but they also really help enterprise brands too, all the way through onto Shopify Plus and other CMSs and things like that in e-commerce. You know, their app provides a lot of features. We'll talk a lot about that on the show for sure. AI search, visual search, collection filters, a lot of the problems that a lot of Shopify brands are experiencing. Merchandising is a key, you know, and not to mention other personalization features that are built into their platform. I believe it's going to be a great conversation. I think it's timely. So let's jump in and learn more about maybe how Fast Simon is assisting with growth and scale on Shopify. So hi, Zohar. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So I mentioned a bit at the top of the show. I just want to thank you, number one, for coming on the show for a second time. I think it's really important to get founders on and talking about how they're making impact in the Shopify ecosystem. You have a lot of very significant Shopify Plus brands that are wildly successful because of your technology. And so I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to tell your story. And so let's talk on a high level first. Some people may not know Instant Search Plus or the Fast Simon company. So let's talk about the problems that you're solving for Shopify brands.
Terrific, thank you. Fast Simon provides a shopping optimization platform for merchants to improve shopper experience, conversion rate, and average order value. And this includes, as you said, search, visual discovery, smart collections, filter, merchandising, cross-seller recommendation, and personalization. We work with great brands, including Steve Madden, Natural Life, Princess Polly, Motherhood, Feature, Targus, Scandinavian Design, Mastermind Toys, and thousands of others. Now, we solve three big problems for merchants. The first is how to enable and inspire the shopper product discovery journey. And this would include all the ways that shoppers interact with the shoppers. That would include search, collection filters, product finders, visual discovery, and recommendations. The second problem is how to optimize shopper journey for the merchant. And that would include the merchandising, personalization, and even hyper-tagging. And the third, which is really kind of for the scaling of the fast-growing brands, is how to scale both online and with physical stores, and hopefully we'll be ending the COVID-19 nightmare and go back to physical stores. So this is where things like, how do you do multi-store merchandising, which is, you know, merchandising on one store and push those campaigns to your other stores overseas? Or how do you deal with Shopify POS integration into your physical store? Or how do you take into account multiple location inventory, which is relatively new to Shopify? So not only we provide an automated solution to each individual use case, but also because our engines are using multiple AI vectors, the end result is actually better than any single point solution. So when brands are growing, they need about dozens of point apps to run their business, and that's very difficult. So our platform not only solves the array of these use cases with better results, it also makes life manageable for fast-growing brand because you have one platform for so many different areas.
And I know, remember right back in the beginning, you really, like, you know, your core superpower really was in the search, hence the name Instant Search Plus. And that was kind of the core. But I think I recall way back in the day, you doing a quick demo for me and saying, hey, Steve, here's what we're doing kind of on Magento, or here's what we're doing in other platforms. And we're thinking that there's an opportunity for the Shopify world to get involved in the merchandising side. So it seems that there's been quite a bit of iteration over the last year and a half. And now here we are with a lot of amazing features all bundled into one solution.
Definitely. There's a lot been going on. And the key is really to focus on the merchants. Our goal is really kind of the online e-commerce merchants. And our mission is to provide them with anything they need to optimize, convert better, and make use of all the traffic that they're getting.
So let's talk about your journey a bit, because I think it's interesting, you know, and I understand it because I've had your interview in the past, but just for those that are new to you and new to Fast Simon, I just would love to understand the journey of what, I guess, positions you and the founding team on a couple points. Number one, to have the desire to want to build this platform. And then number two, to have the technical expertise and then the team together to build this all.
I think that what really kind of is interesting for every founder, I think founders, just especially me, we like to build something out of nothing. That's really kind of where the motivation comes from. I personally started out as a software engineer. I wrote a lot of code in my days, image processing, computer-aided design, and medical imaging. After receiving my MBA, I turned to products, marketing, and business management. The space I was in was enterprise software, so I became an entrepreneur, which means it's basically an entrepreneur, only you're working in the same company. So I was envisioning and bringing products and solution to markets and product lines, business units, you know, cross-company initiatives, M&A. And after 20 years in enterprise software, I switched to e-commerce. So my co-founder, Adar Greenspun, and I founded Fast Simon and launched Instant Search Plus for e-commerce. And our initial edge back then was a patented lightning fast search autocomplete for e-commerce. Now, unlike typical startups that focus on technology, platform, and API, we focused on the e-commerce merchants. And the mission was, as I said earlier, to provide them everything they need to optimize shopping. So this is where we started with search. We added the AI merchandising, personalization, visual search, and grew into a full optimization platform. Now, it's a combination of two things. On one hand, working closely with merchants and translating their needs into a solution. And on the other is leveraging deep cutting edge technology to create a new solution that was beyond most merchants' reach. Just as an example, our team developed our e-commerce search basically from scratch. As far as I know, there are only a handful of teams worldwide that can actually do that. And that speaks volume of our team's deep technology expertise and their focus on the e-commerce merchant.
I noticed when I go into the Shopify App Store that there are quite a few partners that do search. Some do merchandising, like through PIMS. There's all different types of solutions. I mean, I think there's 6,000 or 7,000 some partners that are connected to Shopify in some form or another. And so you do have some peers for sure that do a lot of maybe separate things, but there's always this challenge about, okay, if I have a search solution, but then I have a separate merchandising solution, I start adding all of these different pieces of technology, maybe individually do a lot of really great things, but maybe combined, sometimes they're not talking to each other. And I think these are the kind of conversations that I have with brands a lot, where they're like, okay, let's do an app audit and let's double check. What do we have in here? What's useful for our business? What's moving the needle? And then say, well, I think you should add this and this. But then when you really dig deeper, you find out that maybe they're not communicating as well. I find that a lot with maybe email marketing platforms that maybe don't do SMS yet, but then they add a separate SMS solution, but they're not talking to each other correctly, and opt-ins, and just there's a lot of weirdness going on right now. I'd call them almost disparate systems out there, almost a mishmash of kind of different pieces of technology, where I think you're different. And so are you able to maybe expand a little bit about why you believe that Fast Simon is more unique in the Shopify world?
It's a fair question, especially now, as you said, that there are thousands of different applications. So merchants really have a difficulty in figuring out or deciding what is the app for them. And for each phase in their growth, there may be a different app or no app at all. I would divided this into three areas. The first is the fact that Fast Simon brings cutting-edge technology that until recently has only been available for behemoths such as Amazon to the masses of e-commerce merchants. So in each and every space that we operate, we bring really kind of the cutting-edge technology to it, whether it's AI merchandising or e-commerce search or visual discovery or personalization. And all of it is designed into a platform that provides the fastest time to market because it's designed initially for self-service. Even if enterprise customers would like to have, you know, a white glove service and a managed service, we can do that too. But essentially, the platform takes everything together and makes it so manageable and so amenable to configuring and making changes. And in the ultra-competitive, fast-changing e-commerce space, this is super important. The second thing is that our integrated platform not only replaces point solutions, but also delivers superior experience due to the fact that we use a number of AI vectors into our engines. And this gives merchants a competitive advantage because we can quickly interleave different signals to produce results that increase sales, margin, AOV, and conversion for merchants. And much like we broaden our customer touchpoint from the initial e-commerce team to merchandisers and buyers, I see us reaching into additional teams with the brands that we are serving now and will serve in the future. What really defines a company is our maniacal focus on merchant success. I think long gone are the days where, you know, vendors could sell a big deal to a customer and just move on. This is not the case. We are going out of our way to make merchant success, regardless of how they implement or what they do. And we take a lot of pride in that fact. Everyone in our company is exposed to customers, from me personally to the, you know, the last of the engineers, and is 150% committed to their success. And it's manifested in the caliber of brands that we work with, you know, the Steve Maddens of the world, the Princess Polly, Motherhood, and so on.
Yeah. It's interesting. When you mentioned Mastermind Toys, I had no idea. I know they're newly migrated to Shopify in the last year or so. And they're, I think, traditionally more a Canadian company, if I'm not mistaken. But my wife shops there all the time. And she's so used to going there. She goes, you know what? I really love this Mastermind Toys website based on where it was in the past. And the reality is that a lot of that, a great theme. So, and they have a great product selection and a great brand. But there's also some underlying technology that people have to be aware of. So I'm going to make sure I link this up in the show notes for those listening today. If you want to know a great large catalog company that's running traditional retail with multiple locations, it's very interesting how your technology is interacting with their brand. So I know that they've been affected too, along with a lot of other retailers, about what's happening with this global pandemic right now. Just COVID-19 really has had a really unfortunate effect on traditional retail. But I think, you know, for those that are deciding on vaccinations and kind of whatever the next steps are to kind of open retail up, opening up travel, opening up just life in general, because we've all been kind of hunkered down for the last year or so. And so let's talk about maybe how you believe this pandemic or COVID, how it's really affected retail, and then how do you believe that Fast Simon maybe could be assistance as things start opening up?
It's a good question. I think a lot has been said about what this past year have done to retail and also to e-business. It's unprecedented. And I think that shoppers really steer clear of stores and shopped online. And this caused e-commerce to go forward 5 to 10 years. I mean, pick your number. And on one hand, you know, as we are in e-commerce, obviously, you know, for us, it's been, a growth engine. It's really sad to see retail chains that have closed their doors for good, including small businesses. And that means, you know, tens of thousands of lost jobs. Now, for e-commerce, this has been, you know, an accelerator. And we see a number of different kinds of merchants above and beyond the typical D2C brands. So the first ones are retail brick and mortar brands that closed business and then kind of came back to life as e-commerce only. There are lots of chains that have been doing that, and they are trying to leverage their brand recognition from the physical world into e-commerce. The second type of merchants that we see are combined D2C and retail that have been shifting weight to e-business. So the weight has been moving from the physical brick and mortar stores business into e-commerce, and for good reasons, obviously, because the brick and mortar business has been hit severely by COVID. The last section of merchant that we see are kind of the smaller SMB types, local businesses that must start online because foot traffic slowed down. So these are people who have had businesses for years and they know how to run their businesses, could be a local jeweler, for example. And since there's, you know, hardly any foot traffic, people going into stores, they have to go online. And if they have been somewhat slightly online, now they have to be fully online. So these are kind of the three segments that that we see out there.
Makes me think about a brand that I manage. I'll keep them nameless, but they're quite a popular U.S. and Canadian apparel company that, you know, has a large kind of philanthropy kind of, you buy a garment and I think they plant 10 trees and it's quite an interesting business model. But what's interesting about them is that a lot of their original business really was wholesale, selling to Mountain Equipment Co-op, some small independents, but you know, this was a large, like I'd say 70 to 80% of their revenue was really going wholesale. And even though they had a Shopify store that was doing quite well, the reality was that they really got hit hard because, you know, when the ball, even though their margins were lower on the wholesale side, the revenue made up for the difference. So when this all happened, you know, in February and March, then they came to me and said, like, well, what can we do? And I said, well, the reality is you need to own the customer journey. You need to figure out a way. You're right. If they can't get into a store anymore and they're the type of product that is still kind of a leisure wear, it's a perfect timing for what's happening right now where people aren't going anywhere. They're staying at home. And so they did make the pivot. I think Harley uses the term resiliency a lot about why resilient entrepreneurs do so well is because they don't stick their head in the sand. They say, you know, this is the opportunity that's in front of us and we need to deal with this. And that's where resiliency allows people to think of new ideas of what they can do. In this particular case, it was owning the customer journey was my, I just kept beating it on them. I said, listen, guys, you've got to figure this out. You've got to figure out. And I think of like Gymshark, for example, probably like the most amazing idea where they changed all their social channels at Gymshark. They called it Home Shark because they knew that people were not going to the gyms anymore. But they're like, well, wait a second here. What can we do to build community and culture around the brand? And even though you still have to work from home, can we offer any free classes through live streaming, but still buy our clothing? And so it was really interesting. So these are sort of brands that made the pivot, and then they're very successful. So now, even with Mountain Equipment Co-op being open and other like major retailers slowly opening back up and their purchasing is starting, their direct-to-consumer business is still larger than all their wholesale combined, which is interesting now that now they own that customer because, you know, if you sell wholesale, you don't really know who the customer is. And so this way, if you own it, then it's better for you. I mean, we talked a lot about retail now, and I think this is an important topic because I think even on our latest earnings call, I mean, Toby was really clear that, you know, this sort of growth that's happening in commerce is not going to be sustainable because, as you said, you know, pick your number, 5 or 10 years worth of growth has happened in one, you know, in 6 months, let's say. And so it's not going to be for that forever because, you know, more than 80% of commerce was done in traditional retail. That was very clear. I think it was up at some point, it was almost like just less than 70%, like 30% was done online. So I would love to hear from your perspective because of your software and how you're able to interact both with the online and then the offline world. How do you believe that traditional retail, this the experience now is likely going to change as things start opening up further?
Traditional retail shopping experience involved or used to involve smiling, knowledgeable store employees, greeting customers and offering assistance or recommendations based on the shopper needs, preferences and likes. Now, in the online shopping arena, the helpful greeter is AI, artificial intelligence. And personalization makes it simpler and better for customers. So smart technology in e-commerce is the equalizer for an upcoming brand to compete with some of the household names. But many of the aspects of product discovery have been digitized. A few examples. So just like you have window shopping or flipping garments on a rack in retail, you have online shoppers browsing collections. Just like shoppers and retailers would ask a sales assistant a question about a specific product or accommodation for a gift, online shoppers would search or use a gift or product finder, for example, in Mastermind Toys that you mentioned earlier. And just like a shopper in a store would point to a shirt and ask a sales associate, hey, do you have something like that or something similar? Visual discovery and similarity is used in e-commerce. The difference is that online shopping is digitized, it's measurable, and therefore lends itself to automation. And it's much more efficient and effective in many cases. It also integrates well with customer acquisition and retention. You mentioned email and SMS system earlier, right? I think that other more experiential aspects of retail shopping are on the way to be digitized, but they're not yet. So an example would be social. How do you digitize the social element of, you know, shopping together, going shopping together with friends, or a multi-sensory product discovery? We don't have some of the technologies for that. So you cannot actually touch a shirt or a leather sofa yet, but all of those are still advantages of the brick and mortar stores. Some technologies are going to take over and digitize them. So gamification, virtual reality, augmented reality, etc. So definitely there is a place for traditional retail in all of those elements of experiential commerce, which digital has not taken yet. And, you know, at the end of the day, people like to experience, they like to touch, they like to shop socially. And these are things that brick and mortar has today. What's interesting is that we are going to see integration of the two worlds. And one great example is Shopify Point of Sale. This app is being introduced to many, many brick and mortar stores. And we know because we've integrated our recommendation personalization technology in there. So this is something where when somebody goes into a store, you can already take into account their e-commerce history and experience and likes and apply them in the brick and mortar store with the Shopify POS and with Fast Simon's recommendations. So this is an example where you actually take one world and connect it to the other, and vice versa. If somebody went into a store, then you'll be able to retarget them or reconnect with them online to either complete the purchase or offer them a kind of follow-on products.
I'm going to add to that POS conversation, because what's interesting is that I'm finding the brands that I'm speaking with, even though there's a main counter, so to speak, with a couple of POS terminals, a lot of sales associates that are on the floor that are actually serving customers, they usually have an iPad mini with them or even their phone with the POS kind of logged in. And so exactly what you're talking about here is that, you know, with Fast Simon connected to a brand and connected to the POS, and then there's kind of this logged in experience, and then trying to think about, you know, upsells and cross sells and things dynamically. And even if something's out of stock, you're able to find other locations where, hey, you can take this shirt, but the pants, well, try them on, but this is the wrong color, but you want the other ones? Okay, it's in our other store, or it can be shipped from online. And so it's so interesting that literally from A to Z with a handheld device, you can actually take care of the customer like almost on a one-on-one basis. Instead of like, okay, you're done. Okay, go to the front, and then you just, oh, was somebody helping you? And you know, that whole kind of conversation. I think a lot of that is ended now.
The notion of leveraging this information is not only, I think, apparent in the iPad, but also in the fact that this is a great way to have a sales associate up and running very quickly, because they don't need like years of experience of, oh, okay, you know, this goes with that, or that goes with that. Or here's kind of the new style. You just click a button and say, oh, here it is. All they need to know is how to use the app.
So let's talk a little bit about progressive, these kind of, I'm going to call them forward-thinking companies, because I think one topic that comes up a lot is the customer experience. And, you know, and even there's a, you know, a title of customer experience manager that's gaining a lot of notoriety lately, and it's really truly understanding all parts of the customer journey. So I'd love to hear it from your perspective, because you, like you said, Fast Simon does a lot more than search. It's the whole merchandising. It's the post-purchase experience. There's a lot of things that you do. And so I just would love to hear from you now about how you believe brands should consider customer experience today.
Yeah. So the big delineation here is between pre and post. And I like to focus on the poor experience side, because, you know, when everything is hunky-dory, then everybody is happy. The problem arises when customers are having a poor experience, and post-purchase issues would include, for example, a damage item, or maybe a customer didn't like the purchase after all, or maybe the item didn't show up. Common denominator for all of those post-purchase issues is that you will hear about them as a merchant. You can fix it. You can issue a customer a refund. You can exchange. You can do a lot of things. The problem is what happens if customer is disappointed before they purchase. What happens then? If they don't find what they're looking for, competition is just a click away. If they're not happy with what they see, or they don't see kind of the things that they would like to see personally, then what happens? So what happens if the shopper isn't inspired by the display of your products? They will just disengage. So the worst part is that when somebody is having a bad pre-purchase experience, you will not hear about it and you will not be able to fix it. So this is why you need a shopping optimization platform like ours to cover these blind spots for you.
So that is a challenge though, because I think there is, I would say the numbers that I understand mostly, I'd say about 90% of shoppers are kind of unknown, and you don't really have any idea as to why they made a decision to not purchase with your site. And a lot of it is the experience that they're having on the website. The other 10% probably are known customers. They've opted into something but haven't purchased yet. And then you're able to do some remarketing to them and cart recovery or browse recovery, any sort of basic tactics. But that's with the 10% of your site traffic, you can do that and maybe have a 2 or 3% conversion rate, depending on your industry. You certainly can have tools and hot mapping, and you can record things and a lot of things you can do. But you're suggesting that, no, maybe understand the customer and understanding where they're going on the website. If they're clicking on here or they're searching here, let's show the right collections. Let's show the related items. Let's show everything correctly through AI and machine learning. Like, let's figure all this out. Let's merchandise the website in order to help the customer find what they need and help them check out better with things that they want. And then still have the post-purchase experience of like, well, how do we deal with returns and exchanges and these sorts of things? So I think it's interesting and very notable this is what you're working on. So let's talk about the entrepreneurs that listen to the show, because we have a lot of them. I mean, gosh, I'm 10, 12,000 people download this show each week. And it's interesting because I think there's some people that are in their early stage of their journey, and maybe Fast Simon's not quite ready for that. However, I think there's going to be some good takeaways. Say there's some things that you can do if you're in your early stage. But what about those that are kind of in the mid-market to enterprise? You have a very interesting angle because of your vantage point of some of the largest brands that you manage right now. Let's talk about the advice that you would give brands today if they're very eager to grow and then to scale.
So I'll touch on a few points. I would say the most difficult strategic decision for entrepreneurs and brands as well is what not to do. And it's a key dilemma, especially for the SMBs who are trying to grow up, because you're always strapped for resources. So you need to be laser focused. On one hand, if you move fast, you'll get the first mover advantage. However, you may be actually focusing on something that may prove to be a fad. So timing is everything here. So you really need to kind of manage your risk here when you're deciding to jump on something. And again, always think, what is it that I don't have to do or I don't have to do now? Another point would be on build it in-house or buy it off the shelf. And you can spend time and money developing your own tools, or you can turn to a company who already done that for you. And whichever option you choose, and there are good consideration for either or, just make time to evaluate the effective ways that it will help your customers and your business. And by the way, you can switch. You can start by using something off the shelf and then customize it to your needs, or you can build something. The last, I think, most important point, especially in e-commerce, is really that essential e-commerce mantra for me is acquire, convert, retain, repeat. That's the essence of e-commerce. So make sure to remember which phase of growth you're at to make sure that you focus on the challenges at hand. Here's an example. If you are a starting business and you have a relatively small product catalog, very focused offering, sometimes you may be offering, just a single product with different flavors or different colors, you don't really need shopping optimization before you acquire significant traffic. First, go and get your traffic. Make sure it's growing, make sure that your CAC and your LTV, et cetera, and then you can optimize it. On the other hand, if you have a very large product catalog or a complicated product, then you must think shopping optimization even before you have traffic, because once you will get traffic, they will simply not convert because their shopper's journey, their product discovery is not going to be possible. So you have to really kind of understand where you're at, which phase of growth you're at, and based on that, focused on the key kind of elements of e-commerce. And we certainly have brands who say, okay, so last year our focus was this, we did our email marketing, et cetera. Now we're focusing on optimization. We want to do this and we want to do that. We want to do filters. We want to improve our search. We want to do merchandising, et cetera, et cetera.
And that's where it all comes together with the new and improved Fast Simon product. So that's pretty exciting. So let's talk about the future, because it's iterated so much since I from 2018 when I originally interviewed you. Now here we are with like just a full depth of product built into it now. So let's talk about your North Stars, I guess, for the remaining 2021. Is there any other partner alignment or innovation? I'm just end of the day, just nice to share with the audience today how you're going to continue to offer value and assistance with Shopify brands.
Yeah. So first thing is we're scaling our customer facing team. So we're adding more reps on the sales side, more partner managers, more customer success managers. We just have, we're just growing fast, which is a good problem to have. Secondly is we are working with the strategic partners to further integrate shopping optimization into other strategic areas of e-commerce. So you talked about different kinds of systems. Definitely, more integration is better for merchants. And thirdly, and I cannot say exactly what it's going to be, but we are bringing to market some very exciting new AI innovations that are literally groundbreaking. And they would be eliminating manual labor for merchants and optimizing display. So stay tuned. We'll probably call you when the time comes.
So we thank you so much for coming on the show today. I know we are nearing the end, but and you've shared a lot of knowledge bombs today, but do you have any closing comments or any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
Yes, three things. The first is that this is the tornado of e-commerce. So if you're listening to this show, if you're in e-commerce, you are in the right place at the right time. It's a huge market that's growing fast. And whether you work for Shopify or you are a merchant on Shopify or Shopify Plus, this is the market to be in. Secondly, shopping optimization for merchants is improving conversion and AOV, and it will give you as a merchant the competitive edge you will need to further acquire, convert, and retain customers. And of course, most importantly, the last point is you need to think fast, Simon. Formerly Instant Search Plus, when you're looking for the next cutting edge search, collection filters, merchandising, personalization, or visual discovery for your business. Thank you so much for having me here.
So let's talk about the last part about how people can find your solution, your website, Shopify App Store, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so we obviously can be reached at fastsimon.com. You can also try instantsearchplus.com, which will lead you to fastsimon.com. And the same is for the Shopify App Store. And obviously follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. And we typically publish a lot of blogs. We publish case studies, etc.
Yeah, I know I syndicate a lot of your content on e-commerce Fastlane because I try to make the website more of a source of truth for all things partner and thought leadership around commerce. And you're one of the blogs that I make sure that every week I'm pulling the RSS feed to see if you have anything new and I get it published. So hopefully I'm casting a wider net for content discovery. But yeah, I just wanted to thank you for coming on the show. You know, as you know, Shopify is on a mission to make commerce better for everyone. And it seems very clear to me that both you and the Fast Simon team really are in tight alignment with wanting to help Shopify brands. A little bit of improving efficiencies for sure, definitely growing revenue, definitely kind of the customer lifetime loyalty. And I just want to thank you for sharing for the second time your knowledge and your vision and giving back to the Shopify ecosystem.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
E-commerce Fastlane is brought to you by Omnisend. Omnisend is an email and SMS marketing platform built for nimble Shopify merchants who want to increase their sales and not their workloads. Full Shopify integration, pre-built automation workflows, intuitive segmentation, and no-code editing makes it easy to get up and running without diving into the nitty-gritty details, unless you want to. More than 50,000 e-commerce brands use Omnisend to grow their businesses on autopilot, converting their customers with quick-to-build, highly relevant emails and texts. So visit omnisend.com, start your 14-day free trial today with no credit card required. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.